Welcome to another edition of Third World View, your weekly source for news and analysis from around the Third World, right here on community-supported radio, WORT 89.9.
Hello, welcome to the July 4th edition of Third World View. I'm your host, Steve. For tonight's feature, we'll be hearing more from the recent United States Social Forum. We'll be hearing our feature in just a moment here, but first, a quick announcement. Coming up next Saturday on July 10th, you can join the Socialist Potluck for their monthly meeting. It normally meets on the second Saturday of every month at 5:30 p.m. at the Wilmar Center is when they start eating. The program is at 6:30 p.m. And next Saturday, the program is a report back from the U.S. Social Forum, which we'll be hearing out in just a moment in Detroit. And among those people reporting back will be Third World View's Norm Stockwell, Mark Becker, and Steve Mikesell. Again, that's next week, July 10th, 5:30 for the meal and 6:30 for the program. For tonight's feature, we bring you more voices from the United States Social Forum that met recently in Detroit.
Good evening. My name is Mark Becker, and I am a member of the Third World View Collective. Tonight, we are bringing you more voices from the second United States Social Forum that met in Detroit from June 22nd to 26th. The first World Social Forum met in Porto Alegre in 2001 as a southern response to northern industrial policies of militarism, privatization of public resources, and the shifting of wealth into corporate hands. It responded to Maggie Thatcher's claim that there is no alternative, with the assertion that, indeed, another world is possible. At the first United States Social Forum in Atlanta in 2007, organizers added the slogan, "Another U.S. is necessary." The theme for this forum was, "Another Detroit is happening." At the same time that social movement activists met in Detroit, leaders of the countries with the 20 largest economies gathered across the border in Toronto. Colin Rajat from the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights noted that the United States Social Forum has different goals than the G20 in Toronto.
During the first and second World Social Forums, which was a response to the World Economic Forum, an exclusive event for business leaders and government leaders, that is held annually in the city of Davos, Switzerland. As a response to that, the World Social Forum was held and came together. And as organizations, grassroots organizations from around the U.S., we experienced this phenomenal forum that was so in contrast to the World Economic Forum and everything that it stood for, that we said, we need to come together. We need, as grassroots organizations and movements in the U.S., we need to come together within this global context with our partners internationally and globally. The G20 and the World Economic Forum is not even enough. Now there's a proposal to talk about the New York Forum, an even more exclusive body, a body that's going to talk about how can we cut corners, how can we cut budgets in this economic recession. And what we, the people, need to do to tighten our belts even further. It's a story that's very much in contrast to the 20,000 of us here and what we're talking about and what we're trying to do. We're talking about how can we enrich our souls, our lives, and how we can share our ecology with each other and take care of it in a sustainable and respectful and responsible manner. This is why we're here. This is what the social forum is all about. And in response to, in direct contrast to this event that's happening in Toronto, beginning today and tomorrow, the G20 meeting will again, as they have every year, as they have in the past, will be talking about how these exclusive government leaders of just 20 countries in the world that represent less than 15% of the world's population let alone represent only the business leaders and other cronies that they are directly accountable to, not the real citizens. These business leaders and these government leaders will be talking again about how they can respond in an economic recession to maintain or even expand their power. Issues around military cooperation will be on the agenda. Issues around trade agreements will be on the agenda. Issues around migration will be on the agenda as well, something new that's been coming up in the last few years. But very much different in terms of the goals, what they're approaching to, and what they're trying to accomplish. We have the same issues on our agenda too here in the U.S. Social Forum. We have issues of ecology on the agenda. We have issues of the economy on the agenda. We have issues of migration on the agenda. In fact, if you just look at the Social Forum program, we have three or four People's Movement assemblies talking about these issues. But how we're talking about it and what we're approaching in terms of it are starkly different in terms of what the G20 is approaching. The G20 consistently looks at how we can further exploit, further criminalize, and further use and dispose of people. This is evident in terms of the free markets that they have been developing over the last 30 or 40 years. This is evident in terms of the free trade agreements or economic partnership agreements that have been developing over the last 10 to 15 years. And this is very much evident in terms of legislation and federal laws, as well as local laws that have been passed just in the past couple of weeks.
That was Colin Rajaj from the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, speaking at the United States Social Forum a week ago in Detroit. Following what is now an established tradition at social forums, the Finnish-based international think tank, the Network Institute for Global Democratization, helped organize a session on the future of the forum. The purpose of these discussions is to help define where the forum process is going and where it should be going. I want to bring you three interventions from these discussions. First is Will Copeland from the Detroit Local Organizing Committee.
The groundbreaking of this social forum was laid before this particular social forum. I think about almost every social forum, there have been folks from Detroit there. I personally went to Porto Alegre with a group from Detroit Summer, did a presentation at the youth space, and then went to Sao Paulo and did a tour, met with MST and some other folks. We did a thing on the history of Detroit and how Detroit history reflects a global history in the fight against globalization. I know that there have been folks that went to Venezuela. I know there have been folks that went to India. So a few folks have been going, not with any other networks, but just as Detroiters, we've seen the importance of that and put our money together, did fundraisers in order to send people to these delegations. I was part of a group, we called it the Detroit Social Forum. We sent two buses down to Atlanta to go to that social forum. I didn't go, but I was like, bye. We did a program, an all-day program. We called it the Detroit Social Forum. And then the next day, the bus went off. Folks from Welfare Rights, Central Obrero, and other organizations went down there. It was very ironic because Elena Harada from Central Obrero, she talks about how she attended a workshop similar to this on what happened in hosting the social forum and how did we get there. She had no idea. She wished she had taken better notes. Because at that time, nobody in Detroit was thinking about hosting the social forum. Those conversations really didn't take place until 2008. We're not dealing with organizations that have a lot of leisure time. You know, that's not what you chose for this social forum. And so one of the realities of that is from this process, we talked to the folks in Project South, and we learned, we made it explicit that this social forum had to be conscious about benefiting Detroit. Detroit has had the Super Bowl. We've had numerous tourist events. We knew that Detroiters didn't want just some people to be coming in. We had a news story on WDIV about a week before the social forum called Protesters Invade Detroit. And we knew that people, there was a tendency that could happen that this story would be, oh, these people are coming to Detroit. So we had to make sure that not only us had it in our minds, because we were thinking strategically of how could this social forum benefit Detroit? One example is the goals of the social forum. The social forum have four goals. I was trying to look them up, but they seem to be hidden, maybe for security purposes. We engaged the social forum to add a fifth goal, which was relationship to benefiting Detroit and the local community. I want to say explicitly three things in terms of challenges, which I'll just say about 10 seconds each. One, I think that this has shown that there are some gaps between the Black community and the Indigenous community. Detroit is about an 85% Black city, and I think that it took a while for us to get the Indigenous communications going, and I think that that's partially because of the whole experiences of the Black community and the different experiences of the Indigenous community and the communications there, and we could do a whole panel on that. Another thing is we've seen that there was challenges around low-tech to high-tech, meaning that in Detroit, we're dealing with 20,000 people of Detroit that don't have utilities. We have 20 to 40,000 water shutoffs and electricity shutoffs. So if we're going to have an organizing strategy that says all our information is on the internet, we're going to miss a lot of our people in Detroit. Yeah. And so through this whole process, we've pushed to have paper registration, to have people be able to come into the office and give checks, to just have different things that would have a low-tech to high-tech approach. Youth organizing has been a big problem here in Detroit. This has shown us the strengths and the weaknesses of our youth organizing in Detroit. Lastly, I would say overall, there's a real political question of what does it mean to host a social forum? We try to really decide what are the things that have to happen locally, what are the things that have to happen nationally. I think that there's going to have to be a lot of conversations about what we tried to do and what we learned. But we really made it a political issue to say that to host all these people and to take all these people on is a major political task. And we want people to see and to recognize that and not just to go to the social forum and take it for granted. But we wanted to make explicit the political nature of hosting the social forum.
That was Will Copeland from the Detroit Organizing Committee at the second United States Social Forum that just concluded a week ago. Next is Benishi Albert from the Indigenous Environmental Network. She pointed to the importance of connecting with local Indigenous communities in Detroit.
It was very important for the Indigenous Working Group to connect with the local Indigenous communities, the communities that were from the state or from the region, and being able to connect with them. We had a very serious challenge being able to do that in Atlanta. Most of the tribal communities had been forcibly removed long ago, had been forcibly removed to Oklahoma. So the tribal communities in Georgia were not able to connect with in the same kind of way. Now here in Detroit, there are a lot more sort of communities surrounding and close and adjacent, not to mention a very long history of an urban Indian community here in Detroit itself. And so being able to make that connection and to connect to the local community here just created a much different space. A few days ago, we had a welcoming dinner with the Indigenous people who have come to the social forum that was hosted by the local community here in Detroit. And it was a much different engagement of relationship. And it was much more welcoming for the Indigenous people to come here, because Indigenous people also had this very intrinsic culture about the protocol of greeting the local peoples and being able to make those connections there. So we had some challenges with that in Atlanta, and we were able to connect with not only Indigenous people who had originally been from that southeast region, and many of those communities had come from the places that they had been removed from and were part of the community. And part of I will say it's been a good thing and a challenge at the same time. I would definitely, in terms of the composition of the National Planning Committee, there are organizations who really get what it is about Indigenous people in terms of what they have to bring to the table, of what they have to bring to a discussion about social change and social movements in this country, and what it means to engage in a conversation with folks who have a different thinking pattern, who have a different speaking pattern, who have a different thought process, and being able to do that. And it's also been a challenge because there are many other organizations who don't understand that and are like, why are we taking the time to do this? Why are we making special exceptions to do this? And so it's supported and it's challenged at the same time. And so it's always sort of in this tension that I think is good and has made it grown. And so so a brief example of that is that in both of the opening marches, the Indigenous people have led the march. And that was a very key discussion that happened early on in the planning about the march and sort of appropriateness of that. And people were like, well, okay, all that makes sense, but we also want this. And so then there was a sort of back and forth discussion and negotiation that happened that ended up also recognizing all the other sort of constituencies that we wanted to have at the front of the march and still recognizing the need for having Indigenous people lead that march in a different way. So that happened in Detroit, and it was a much easier, I wouldn't say it was a entirely easier process this time around, but it was people sort of had an expectation of it. You know, getting there was a challenge, not only for a challenge of getting people to Atlanta and even here to Detroit was not sort of logistically challenged, but that also in our communities, in any communities, there are only a handful of people who haven't even an experience with the World Social Forum, that have even an experience of a discussion about what a social forum is. And so then there was a lot of education communication that had to happen with the local community here, with the Detroit local Indigenous community. Okay, this is what the social forum is about. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what we hope what's going to happen. And this is what we hope is going to happen to benefit the community here. But those conversations had to happen in a lot of communities in the Southwest, in the Plains, in the Dakotas, in the Northwest. Those conversations had to happen over and over and over again. And they were like ongoing conversations that had to happen. At the forum, I would say one of the key lessons for me from the Detroit forum, I mean from the Atlanta forum and coming here to Detroit, is we had a lot of Indigenous people that came. We had an Indigenous space. We had an Indigenous tent that was part of Atlanta. And one of the things that I realized about a day or two in was that it was very easy for the Indigenous people to connect and communicate in their own space, but those issues were not being heard and connected in other spaces, in other workshops. And it became very apparent, especially when we started going through the People's Movement Assembly process. I was working on the resolution from the Indigenous peoples. The resolution had at least 10 different issues that was like all combined with a whole lot of just very specific Native issues. But there were like 10 issues that could have connected with a whole lot of other constituencies and communities around militarization, around environmental protections, around the criminal justice system. There were a whole lot of issues. And I remember writing and everybody like saying, okay, this has to be in there, this has to be in there, this has to be in there. And me thinking, why are we trying to put all of Indian people's issues in this one compact resolution when we need to have all of these voices heard in each of these other resolutions, right? Because there were a bazillion other resolutions that were talking about those same things, about militarization, about immigration, about the criminal justice system. And I was like, why are we trying to compact them all in our own one resolution? And so it became very apparent that we also have to do an education with our own community about, yes, we want the space to be for Indigenous peoples to be able to connect and make those connections, but also for those to sort of be deployed out into the larger social forum. And so it's still a challenge, and it's still a challenge that we're learning and developing and trying to move forward. And I would definitely say that the good thing about this is that it's helped us develop how we need to have this ongoing discussion and ongoing people's movements assemblies for indigenous people outside of even preparing for the social forum. There's one that happened in the Southwest. There were a couple more that happened. But building up to that, and then how do we take that from here when we leave here? How do we continue this conversation about the social forum and what we learned from the indigenous people that came here, but what we learned from the other communities that were here too?
That was Benishi Albert from the Indigenous Environmental Network, one of the lead organizations in the United States Social Forum that met in Detroit. Finally, we have Michael Leon Guerrero from the Grassroots Global Justice, one of the lead organizers of the United States Social Forum. He spoke about the United States Social Forum as a people's victory.
The forum has been a major victory in the United States for us, and it provided us a model and a tool that really was absolutely necessary and timely in the U.S. because we had setbacks. When we tried to bring together people at a broader level and build this broader unity, we failed at a number of levels. People may recall 2005, the Northwest Social Forum, which at that time was one of the more significant social forum efforts in the United States, was canceled within a week of the event. And it broke down along these lines around race, around indigenous sovereignty, around respect for youth, and a number of things, right? And so that was one in a number of challenges that we had to overcome in this process. I came out of grassroots organizing, community organizing in New Mexico. That's where I met Benishi years ago. And then I also came out of the environmental justice movement, which was a very powerful movement in the late 1980s and early 1990s. In fact, many of the international contacts that we had developed in that movement set the groundwork for the relationships we built in the social forum process. We met people from Brazil through that that helped to guide us into the social forum process later. But for many of us in the U.S., we weren't familiar with it. We started to get involved in the global justice movement late. Well, that's not really true. We are very active in NAFTA. I'm talking about grassroots, poor organizations, people of color organizations, indigenous organizations. We were very active in the struggle for NAFTA. And yet when the battle in Seattle took place, the representation by that sector was not very strong. And I think that's a whole volume of study that we should talk about at some point. But it was really the World Social Forum that actually started to bring us back into that process. And from my experience, it was 2002 when we first met, went on a delegation. We met with 40 other organizations from the U.S. And it was just such an eye-opener to see movement at such a scale and level in Brazil and all these other countries. It really excited us and led us to question, what is it that we're not doing in the U.S. that's allowing us to reach that scale? What is it that's not allowing us to have that kind of power to actually, for instance, control the government of Porto Alegre, right? So anyway, this has led to deep reflection and conversations back in the U.S. And in my experience, this is when we formed the Grassroots Global Justice Alliance with two specific objectives: strengthening the grassroots movement building efforts in the United States and being much more strategic and proactive in our participation in the international movements. Right? So we knew we had to be in this space. The reason why it was critical is because we were losing. At the local level, all of the fights that we were taking on whatever issue, we were consistently losing ground more and more. And what we saw, what was clear, was because these decisions were now being made at a global level, right? This is what we all understood through the global justice movement, through all these institutions, WTO, etc. So we had to be part of this movement. We knew we had to act locally, and we had to act globally at the same time. So around 2002, 2003, I know a number of our colleagues were saying there should be a U.S. social forum. And back some were saying there should be a world social forum in the U.S. Some of you, I think, still believe that. To this day, I'm going to argue against that. Because if our colleagues cannot get visas, as in this case, for this forum right now could not get into the country, why would we hold the World Social Forum? It doesn't make sense. We all need to be here.
Absolutely.
So we'll still oppose that. Same thing with the U.S. Social Forum, and then people really wanted it before the 2004 election, because 2000 was stolen, 2004 was stolen. thought it could influence the direction of that. We opposed that. The reason why we didn't feel it was right to make an immediate call for a U.S. social forum is because most people and most of the folks that we work with knew nothing about it. If we wanted to represent the diversity of the United States, it would take time for that to happen. And this is one of the first deviations from the social forum model that we took. The second page of your program is the We Believe statement. This was a statement by the U.S. National Planning Committee that was our addendum to the World Social Forum Charter of Principles. And it lays out very clearly what the importance that we felt, the emphasis on reaching out first to those marginalized communities, those communities that have historically been left out of national process. If we did not start there, it would be much harder to bring them in later. It had to start with us, and then we would build out from there. And we got a lot of criticism for that. And I know, I'm hoping we can have much more of a rigorous debate about that intentionality, but I'll say this to frame it. An open space is not necessarily a level playing field.
Amen.
Right? You have to level the playing field for everybody to be able to come in.
Yep.
And we felt it was important to do that, and it took us 3 years to do that. Right? I mean, we had the setback of Hurricane Katrina, and then it took a number of conversations. I mean, they had to be one-on-one conversations with groups around the country, and we would hear things like, well, how's this different from any other conference we go to? You know, and we hear nothing ever comes out of the World Social Forum. Why are we going to spend all this money to go there? But when Jai talks about this is a process, it was one of the most powerful experiences we went through because it was the nature of the conversations that were different. And people being in the room that I know had not spoken to each other in 20 years, starting to talk to each other and saying, we have to figure out how we're going to get beyond where we're at, and this may be the model to be able to do that. So the open space is really important. It's really critical because it allows people to come in on their own terms. And we may not agree coming in, but everybody has a commitment to building the broader unity. And what was the most important to me was the sense of transformation, the sense of possibility. There's some things about the forum that are really, really important that you can't really document. It's how people feel. And that energy, that excitement, and the sense of possibility was one of the most important things that people left. And to this day, people come up and say, that was one of the most life-changing experiences for me. This forum is different because the intentionality that you'll see of organizations coming in, it's much more clear. And you'll see that in all of the different spaces where the anti-militarization groups are seeking each other out and trying to figure out how do we work together. You'll see that in the excluded workers. So you're seeing all these spaces where folks are much more deliberate about what are the conversations we want to have, what are the things that we want to leave. The other alteration in the model has been the people's movement process, right? And we know that's been a deep historic tension within the forum. We've tried to embrace both. We feel that you've got to have both because people are demanding. There's got to be action tied to this. There's got to be strategy tied to this. We don't want to disrupt the integrity of the open space. We think it's still critical and there still should be a division. But we've got to, I think the forum should play more of a role in allowing these different types of assemblies to happen. The first one is very clumsy. We'll admit to that. It was clumsy, it was messy, right? This one, we're hoping, what's great about it is that there was a lot more, there were 30, 40 assemblies that happened before we got here. There are 50 happening here, and then there'll be the big national assembly. So this is where we're at. Now, the big question is, how does it all come together? Because there's still a level of fragmentation by these different sectors and movements. I think we are going to leave with a clear picture of what are some of the mobilizations and collaborations that can happen in the coming years. We need a lot, obviously, in the United States. We've got an election coming up in 2 years. We don't know what's going to happen at this point with the Obama administration. But if we don't have a strong social force on the left, if we don't have a strong progressive social force, we're not going to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that are going to come up politically in the next 2 years. And that's what this is all about. And everybody here shares that sense of urgency. But at the same time, we know we have to have some real strong reflection as well.
That was Michael Leon Guerrero from Grassroots Global Justice. Together with Will Copeland and Benishi Albert, Guerrero spoke at a workshop on the future of the social forum process in Detroit during the recent United States Social Forum. That concludes this series of four voices from the United States Social Forum. If you would like to learn more about the forum, please join us at the Socialist Potluck this Saturday, July 10th, where we will report back on our experiences. The Socialist Potluck meets at 5:30 p.m. at the Wilmar Neighborhood Center, 953 Jennifer Street. Please bring a dish to share. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Third World View Collective. This is Mark Becker.
While we were in Bonn, basically having a big party, there were a lot of stuff was going on in Genoa, and part of a series, and interrupted recently by a cataclysmic event, but this is a song about shutting down the various financial institutions of the world, and it's sort of generic, vague kind of thing. You know, it can apply to whichever one you care to shut down. And it has a four-word chorus, and I hope you'll all join me with it. We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise. If they'd have one big multinational with their corporate flag unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world, then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle town. Wherever they may go, we will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Got the chorus yet? That's it. That's And CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's gotta be. Well, they can have their CNN, 'cause we've got our IMC. And we'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't wanna hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcasts, 'cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. They'd have a world full of strip malls, plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ecocide. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay. And we're not gonna give in. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Sounding good. And they will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas. We'll shut them down.
Well, thank you for joining us on this July 4th edition of Third World View. I've been your host, Steve, and we're all out of time for this week. I'd like to encourage you to stay tuned for Salamat, which is coming up next. And please join us again next week here on Third World View.
Third World View is written and produced by a collective of volunteers. We welcome your comments and suggestions. You can also contact us at the station if you're interested in joining our collective and helping to bring third world issues to the airwaves. Third World View can be heard every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WORT, your community radio.
You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM and WORT HD in Madison, Wisconsin.